8 o'clock Sunday morning. You're dialed in to Fox Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. Once a year, we do this. It's out the Super Bowl Sunday. We take the show out of the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studios, and we move it down the road right here to where we're at right now, and that would be Buffalo Wild Wings just off the 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. We are live every Sunday morning if you're listening for the first time on Fox Sports Las Vegas from 8 to 9. The we I'm referring to is typically me and my longtime producer, Lotus Broadcasting sports personality and Vegas Golden Knights locker room radio correspondent, Chris Magnum Chapman. But today is different, and the we extends to my guests and my guest host, Caleb Herring. For those of you who don't know Caleb, he's the last UNLV quarterback to lead the Rebels to a bowl game, and he is the current UNLV football and girls basketball color man on ESPN Radio here in Las Vegas. And also part of the we is our on-site remote tech angel, who I'm working with for the first, I should say for the second time. The first time was last night on my buddy's show on Fox Heatwave Sports. There's a bit of an embarrassing story behind our first meeting, Angel, but I'm going to save that. If you want to know what that meeting that was, you can ask me after the show, and I'll let you know. I yelled at Angel last night. I did. I was kind of a dick. I mean, I'm sorry. Can I say that on the air?
I don't know. I don't. I would say no.
No?
I would say no.
Okay, I can't say that on there. Retract that, Magnum. Scratch that and cross it out, okay? It is out of line, and, you know, that's the way the show goes.
Way out of line there.
Right. I was a little offbeat. Everyone's over 21 in here, I think. My son, I know, just turned 21, but he's good. Hey, listen, we have a lot of other guests, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But if you want to know, again, about the story, you'll have to ask me later. And, Angel, I do owe you a cold beverage, so I'll hook you up with that at some point. But, listen, as far as social media goes, you can follow the show on Twitter, at Out of Line 1340 AM, and check out and like the Facebook page. It's easy to find. It's called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. And if you can't make it down to B-dubs, you're still in bed, you're sleeping, that's okay. You can also watch the show on Facebook Live. The show is interactive, although it might be tough to get through today. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is sponsored by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On Tap, well, the Knights lost again yesterday, and Nightcap will tell you why the Vegas Golden Knights losing streak might not stop at a season-high 4 games. The run of Rebels went from...
Hockey players, as you know, are...
That's too early, Mags. That's all right. the running Rebels went from 5-1 in the Mountain West Conference to 5-4. Like the Vegas Golden Knights, they're in the midst of a losing streak, but unlike the Golden Knights, it wasn't expected. It was expected. And Super Bowl Sunday is here, and that's where most of our focus will be this morning. And who better to help us focus on Rams-Patriots matchup in the Super Bowl than the man who is in no small part the reason the Rams have a Super Bowl title in their history, the man that made the tackle, a good friend of the show, Mike Jones himself, will be joining. And here at Buffalo Wild Wings, a couple of other former NFL players and the current brass of the brand new Las Vegas chapter of the NFL alumni, president of 13-year vet Lyndon King is here, and vice president, 9-year NFL vet, Moreland Greenwood. They're both here in Buffalo Wild Wings. They'll be joining us shortly as well. And also, he will be here soon. The man, and he's one of the main stars on the Las Vegas-based reality show, Tanked, Brett Raymer, who also is going to be bringing some cool stuff from his store that's called Nightcap. It's official. I'm wearing a hat. He's got some really cool stuff, and we'll be giving that away to a few people that do show up here tonight. And, hey, listen, if you are in the area, I strongly suggest you pop in here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Right now, the crowd is sparse, a little bit surprised, but check this out. It's at the 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, and great guests and tons of great tickets, prizes to give away, not to mention complimentary bagels, donuts, coffees, and OJ. And we're not talking about the acquitted murderer. it's orange juice, okay, the real stuff. All right. Wait, did I just say that again?
You said that.
Man, hey, relax. The show's called Out of Line, right? All right, listen, What's on Tap comes your way thanks to the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com for more information.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, the bottom line is, Mags, you're with me, right? You can hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
I mean, four-game losing streak, and the reward for losing four in a row, they get to go to Tampa Bay and play the best damn team in the NHL, a team that looks like, to me right now, a juggernaut if it was to end today. I don't know who's beating them in a seven-game series, but wow, could their losing streak really extend to five, maybe even six games?
I don't think they'll lose to Detroit, to be honest, but I didn't think they would lose last night either. So there's some serious causes for concern here. The most notably, the fact that they're getting no scoring from their top line. You know, Riley Smith was out for a little bit. Last night they put Valentin Zhukov on that first line to, I guess, see what he could do. And he didn't play bad. I mean, I think a lot of fans are like, oh, he didn't score, so he played bad. But he actually didn't play bad. But it was the first line that had that big turnover that led to this goal, or the Mike Hoffman goal, which ended up being the winning goal for Tampa, or for Florida. But you know, they're just not getting a lot of scoring. And it's like I look at the teams that they're fighting against in the Pacific Division, and I'm just going to give you some numbers here. San Jose, who's ahead of them in the division, they have 5 guys with 19 goals or more. That's five. That doesn't even include the defensemen, who Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns both are close to 50 points. Karlsson has 43. Brent Burns has 57 points. These are their two top defensemen when it comes to points. They also have another defenseman who's got a bunch of points as well. So Brendan Dillon for them has 33 points. You know, the thing is, Vegas doesn't have anybody who's really lighting it up. And, you know, you could look at Karlsson, you could look at Marchessault, and you could I think you have to almost point the stick at those two guys and say, where's the scoring coming from? What is going on? But I think the problems go deeper than just the top line. I mean, there's turnovers. They're getting zero from the third line, right? Like the Cody Eakin line. And Cody Eakin's a good player. He's a good defensive center. But it doesn't matter who he's playing with. That line is not scoring goals. I mean, I just don't know, man. They're in big trouble because I don't see them having – I think this is, what, the 20th game that they've lost where Marc-Andre Fleury has allowed two goals or less. Is that – where they've lost 20 games, and I think in those 20 games they've allowed, I don't think it's just Fleury. I think combined they've lost 20 games where they've allowed two goals or less.
No, there's no doubt they've been in every game, but this the fact that they're struggling offensive, Chris, is a problem. And you've got to have that, you know, even the first line, they have produced, but Marchessault had this tremendous drought, and that can't happen. You know, at one point, he was on pace where if he had played that way the whole season, he would have scored 11 goals in the season. That cannot happen. And a goal 12 seconds into a game, which yesterday, I mean, I didn't even, my seat wasn't even warm, and they were down 1-0 again. That's got to stop.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't allow this.
Gasty tries to tip it back. He collides with Theodore, which leads to an entry for Barkov. Right circle, he shoots, and he scores! 12 seconds in, Alexander Barkov, an early lead for the Panthers.
Yeah, Barkov gets set up, and I mean, just walks right in and scores a goal. And not really Fleury's fault. You had two Vegas Golden Knights collide. But I mean, right at the beginning of the game, and you're down 1-0, man, it's disheartening. And something's got to change. You know, I mean, if there's any way to go into Tampa and win that game, it would turn it around. But I'm telling you, Chris, if they lose to Tampa, they could very well go into Detroit, a real lousy hockey team, and get beat.
Yeah.
Especially if Jimmy Howard plays well.
Well, and that's the other thing. They are not beating these backup goalies. I mean, last night it was Reimer, right? You're not getting Roberto Luongo. You're getting James Reimer, who was a little feisty last night. But, you know, the thing is, they just are not scoring goals. And you take the Pittsburgh game out of it, and they just, for whatever reason, I mean, I can go through the list here. We are right now on February the 3rd. You go back, you look at last night's game, Carolina, Nashville, the Wild game, the Jets game, San Jose. They've scored two goals or less in those five losses. They beat the Blackhawks in overtime 4-3, and they beat the Penguins 7-3. Those five losses, you're averaging 1.6 goals a game.
It's putrid.
You're not going to win any games in this league scoring 1.6 goals a game.
And people here that just got acquainted with hockey last year, they're looking at it like, oh, my God. Yeah, it is a problem. But this team has some tremendous offensive weapons. It's just a matter of getting going. You know, you got Pacioretty, Carlson, Marchessault, even Riley Smith. When they figure out what line to put the guy on, he's going to get points. He's a great setup man.
Well, I think here's the bottom line. They need a shakeup. And what I would do if I'm in that situation, and granted, I'm not a hockey coach. I don't claim to be. But I think you go a major shakeup. I change my top line completely. I drop Marchessault down to the second line. I move Tuck and Pacioretty up to play with William Karlsson on that first line. My second line would be Stastny, Smith, and Marchessault. Or maybe even move Riley Smith down to the third line and maybe move Ryan Reeves up to the second line and see what he could do skating with those guys. But they need a major shakeup, something that's going to get these guys playing better. And I think you have to start with that first line because they're just not getting any production from William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault, and whoever's skating with those guys. And here's the other thing. Everyone fell in love with Brandon Peary. Brandon Peary has 2 points since that Chicago game when he hit his 10th point. So that's the it's not a knock on Peary. I mean, actually it is. Brandon Peary was a fringe NHL player. He came up, he got hot, but now we're seeing why Brandon Peary was in the AHL. For a long time.
We've known Brandon Peary is not a two-way player. He never has been. He is an offensive juggernaut when he's hot, and we saw that. But he played two-way for about three games, and he went back to being Brandon Peary. And I knew this was going to happen. But you are right. We do need production out of William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault. It is so crucial to have those two guys on track. And speaking of Ryan Reeves, one of the things we're giving away down here today is we've got a Ryan Reeves autographed hockey stick, probably the toughest guy in the NHL. And we've got a William Karlsson puck. Maybe I'll have somebody throw that thing into a net a few times, and it'll catch fire to him. Chris, rolling on, I think, you know, I look forward to them, to what's going to happen in the future when they get back to T-Mobile Arena, which will happen after two more games. And I still think this team will turn it around. I still think they'll finish no worse than fifth in the Western Conference. And we'll see what happens. We do got to move along and get over to UNLV. And first of all, I want to say that's Chris Chapman on the other end of the line, Las Vegas Golden Knights locker room correspondent. I'm Brian Feldman. I'm sitting to my left. I haven't even put him on the air yet. You, quiet as a church mouse over here.
I move in silence.
You do. Yeah. Caleb Herring, my good friend, man. Always great to have you on the show, brothers. Good to have you here, seriously.
It's great to be here, man. Super Bowl Sunday. It's always a great time for sports. Some good stuff to talk about UNLV basketball-wise, I guess. I mean, had us fooled for a little bit with a great start in the conference play, but slipped a little bit. But, yeah, Super Bowl Sunday, it's good to be here, man, live on the air with you.
Appreciate it, and I met your beautiful lady tonight. Now
yeah, man.
Now I know why you never bring her out and show her to
I married up. I tried now to keep her locked away, and so no one will ever have a chance to take her from me. I realize how fortunate I am.
Was that well said or what? I mean, I'm going to take some notes here. Somebody give me a pen. But back to with UNLV. You know, I am really amazed at, you know, people's response to these last couple games. Caleb, this team is right where we thought they'd be. I mean, yeah, we got a little disillusioned by the early start, the 5-1, but they were never anything different. And, you know, I was the biggest Marvin Menzies detractor at the beginning of the season. I thought this team was using a friend of mine, Jose Vellante, he says dumpster fire a lot. And that's what I looked at this team as being at the beginning of the season. But you know what? I look at the people he recruited. Joel Entombwe is a star in the making. If this guy ever learns what the word defense means, he's going to be scary. And I'll tell you right now, all these guys, the Juicer, they call him. This guy's unbelievable as well. He's a wide body. I think he's going to do nothing but get better. Mbaké Diong is the most improved player on this team by far. He has morphed into a D1 player. He missed six games with an injury. And at the beginning of the season, Caleb, and I asked Chris Chapman this on the phone last night. We were talking after I got off of Heatwave Sports. I said, if there was one player at the beginning of the season, and I said, Caleb Herring, who can't UNLV lose if they're going to make anything of the season, who would you have told me it was in this team?
Who? The one person?
The one person that there was one guy.
Honestly, at the beginning of the year, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Shakur Justin.
I mean, I would have said that but I don't know who was the star. I don't know if there was a standout, but it's him.
It's him.
He's the guy.
And he's been hurt since Hawaii.
And they're fine.
And the point is it's not so much that they're fine, it's that I'm giving Menzies an excuse that he's not making.
Yeah.
You lose your best player, and then you lose Cheikh Ndombele, who's also breathing on 7 feet. You take away, and then Zhang's gone. Now you got a bunch of mites on the team, and I mean 6'8" people aren't mites.
Yeah.
Compared to San Diego State, who's a really long team, you're going to suffer.
Well, Brian, it's like what you and me were talking about last year. Everyone expects a quick fix, right? Like, the team Marvin Menzies took over, I don't know what their RPI was that first year, but my guess it was probably somewhere below 280, which means they would have been one of the worst 40 programs in the country. Here's the thing. He could have gone out and gotten a lot of quick fix guys, right? But long term, what does that do for your program? It's what I keep saying. You have to be patient. Rebel fans are impatient. Look, we gave Dave Rice 5 years because he was recruiting McDonald's All-Americans, right? The reality is, you give Marvin Menzies McDonald's All-Americans, I guarantee you they're not 5-4 in the Mountain West Conference.
Well, we thought we had one last year in Brandon McCoy. And
but that's the thing. He checked out after the Arizona game.
Yeah, he did. He did. When he realized DeAndre Ayton was like 10 times better than him, he's like, wow, I'm not that good anymore. And mentally, he did check out. But the question is what would it take? Two things, Chris, and I mean, you follow this like I do. You've been a big part of this. And Caleb, I mean, freaking an alumni.
Yeah, both
what
of us.
Would
yeah.
it take, what would it take, number one, for Menzies to keep his job, and what would it take for him to lose his job? Because I'll tell
you're
you
talking
right
about
now,
this season?
This season, because here's the deal. Everyone's unhappy with him.
I don't think he loses his job this
either.
Season.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's the right thing to do. And what Mags is talking about is program building. I think a lot of people are into the instant gratification of things, especially in sports. You see a losing program. You're not – number one, you're not in an SEC school where the cupboards always fill as far as talking about talented guys coming to your program. So that's number one. So you're going to have to recruit and build from the ground up. You can't do that in 2-3 years. You need some time to develop the players you recruit. Number one, they have to stay. Like you said, the one-and-done thing can't happen at UNLV because you need those guys to stay for 4 years and develop the program. That's number one. Number two, you need the coach and consistency at the coaching spot
so that the theory, the
style of play is consistent where the players get used to it. Not just the stars leaving, but the others, the help players, the guys that are going to end up staying for 4 years and maybe not have a chance at the next level, those guys need to have consistency in the style of play, and their coaching method has to be echoed consistently for the 4 years that they're there. Otherwise, they're wasting their time. That's why you see with the coaching turnover, a lot of guys get lost in the shuffle. Guys that could have been good end up dwindling because now the new system, they don't fit into it. So I think you need to be patient with coaches. In all the major sports in college, you need to have patience with your coaches, football and basketball. So Menzies falls in that same category. Give him time. I don't think he should be on the hot seat at all. People can be unhappy with getting blown out. That's fine. I looking at the stat sheet and seeing that score, yeah, be sad that San Diego State blew you out or Utah State blew you out like that. Maybe not so much Reno because we kind of saw that coming. They're a phenomenal team. But they're a product of what I'm talking about, having patience. Two guys on that team could have left to the NBA last year.
Three.
And because three
maybe,
guys.
Maybe three.
Maybe three. They could have left. And because they didn't, now UNR sits in the top 10. That's one of those things.
I'm not going to disagree with you. And I'm going to
echo what Caleb said because there is that instant gratification. Here's the reality. There's not a lot of coaches in this game who are going to walk into a program that was that low in the RPI and in 2 years have them competing for a conference title. It's just not going to happen. And there's even less of those guys coaching at schools that are not in the Big 12, SEC, ACC. I'm just going to give you this. Porter Moser, who is he? He's the coach of Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, he is.
You know what his record was? He took over the program in 2011, 2012. You know what his record was? 7-23 his first year, 15-16 his second year, 10-22 his third year. Fourth year, they go 24-13. They win that stupid CBI thing. The following year, 15-17. The year after that, 18-14. This guy had two winning records or two winning seasons going into last season. What happens? They go to the Final Four. They go 32-6 on the season. Imagine if that school had given up on Porter Moser after year three when they went 10-22.
Well, Chris, I'm gonna interject here, and we got to get to break in a second. We got a lot of people to get to, but I want to tell you this much. I am saying one more year. You and Caleb want this guy to plant himself at UNLV. He gets next year. Let's be realistic. It's 4 years. It's like going to college. You got a 4 years. You get 4 years to get your degree. He's got 4 years to do something. I don't want him gone after this year because, like I said, I think he is recruited well. I think he has a team that really can make some noise next year. I think if everyone stays healthy, you've got Amari Hardy as a point guard with a season under his belt. Joel and Tomboy, a season under his belt. And like I said, the guy's got superstar potential. You've got all these other guys. Check that Dembele's going to be back with after he, you know, hopefully healthy. Next year, if this team is sitting where they are this way next year, I'm not listening to anyone. The bottom line is I'll fire him. I mean, the guy, the guy's got to go if it happens. But right now I do say give Menzies another year. All you naysayers out there, yeah, you could be haters all you want. Who are you going to get? The Board of Regents at UNLV is cheap. Yes, I said it. They're not going to pay a coach. Menzies gets $750K a year. They're not going to go out and pay somebody $1.5 million to coach UNLV. And until they open up the purse strings, you're not going to get a Rick Pitino here. You're not. Chris Beard is going to run to Texas Tech and make that team an immediate contender because they're not going to pay. Even Chris Beard, they offered $900,000 to. Pay somebody a D1 salary, get another guy here, and maybe somehow we'll bring back the Tark era to UNLV at some point in time. Listen, we got to take a break. He's Caleb Herring. I'm Brian Feldman. Chris Magnum Chapman back in the studio. We got Angel out here as our tech on site. And right after the break, we're coming back. We're going to have Mike Jones on the phone, Super Bowl hero with the tackle. And in-house with us right now, Lyndon King and Moreland Greenwood are going to step up and join us as well. We will be right back. You are listening to Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM. 13:40 a.m.
Probably the final play of the game in regulation. It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. Mike Jones made the tackle. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
I'm going to see Mike.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot, they all know me. Back then
classic.
They didn't want me. Now I'm hot, they all know me. Back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot,
all right.
They all know me.
Welcome back. This is Out of Line. Sunday mornings, 8 to 9, we are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. For those of you driving around at 6640, and that is North Durango. So we're right down here in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Come on down. You got a few minutes left of the show. We'll be here tonight for the Super Bowl party. We have so much stuff to give away, way more prizes than people, so I would suggest you get down. Caleb Herring sitting to my left on your radio dial. Angel a little bit farther, our remote tech, and Chris Magnum Chapman back in the studio. Joining us now on the phone, I got two guys at the table. I've got my good buddy, Mike Jones, and he's not the Mike Jones, the rapper. Mike has been a friend of the show for 6 years, and man, Mike, do you ever get tired of hearing that play, the tackle? Because we talked about it last year, and you said probably not 2 days of your life goes by that somebody doesn't bring that up.
It never gets old. How you guys doing?
Oh, you know we're great, man. So damn good, I can hardly stand it.
Well, you know, it never gets old. I mean, it's been a, you know, it's 19 years now, the Super Bowl. So it's been a nice ride, and, you know, every year, you and I talked for the last 6 years, and I can remember a couple times. Like I said, I called the Texas show to make sure I hadn't missed a call because I'm all over the place usually during this time, so I might be on the East Coast or the West Coast, so I just got to make sure the times are right so I can come on the show.
Well, one of these years, Mike, we almost did it last year. We're getting you out here.
Yep.
Plus, I put my hat on, my Rams, because I happened to be at that Super Bowl. I covered it. You don't remember me. I saw you in the locker room after the game, but that's okay. But one of these days, I'll get you to autograph my hat. Mike, I got to ask you something. First question, the greatest show on turf, one of the most dynamic, offensive, explosive teams I've ever seen in my life. How would that team fare against the new greatest show on turf with Jared Goff and company, and you got Aaron Donald and Adamican Sue on the other side, Aqib Talib. How would this team fare against your team? Don't be biased.
I mean, if you look at our team was built with offensive line wise, just like the Rams are this year. Very good offensive line. I mean, we had a left tackle Hall of Famer in Orlando Pace, a guy that a lot of people don't talk about that I think should get some consideration for Hall of Famers, Adam Timmerman. Adam Timmerman was a 6- or 7-time pro bowler.
Yep.
And he just shut down the middle of that. If you had a defensive tackle go up against him, you think about Warren Sapp. I mean, Warren Sapp in the NFC Championship game, Adam didn't allow but one tackle by Warren Sapp. So interiorly, our offensive line was very good. Very favorable at running back. I mean, you look at Marshall Faulk and Ty Gurley, very similar type of guys. At the wide receiver position, again, very favorable. Because, I mean, you look at the guys we had. Heck, Ricky Poe, who was our leading receiver the year before, was our fifth receiver. You know, so you look at Torrey and Isaac and Isaac Keem and Tony Horn. You know, again, very favorable. You know, defensively, you know, I think we might have the edge, I'll be honest with you, because of, you know, Aaron Donald's the best football player to me in NFL. I said, but when you look back at Kevin Carter was the best defensive lineman in the NFL that year. He led the NFL on sack. You know, you had DeMarco Ford, the other defensive sack, he was a Pro Bowler. So we had a lot of guys.
No, you did, and you guys were definitely stacked. And I want also, joining us now, as I mentioned, I've got the president of the NFL alumni who's sitting to my right, and Lyndon King, great guy, again, 13 years in the National Football League, and the brand-new president in Las Vegas. We have an NFL alumni chapter right now that has just started. Lyndon moved here from California, and it's a really cool story because Lyndon came here after October 1 when we had the tragedy here in Las Vegas, and Lyndon came here and was so impressed, if I'm not mistaken, yep, about how our community came together, that he said, I want to be a part of that, and he moved here for that, and gave up his aspirations of being a country singer and everything, and joined.
All right,
and
now joined. No, it's a stretch now. You sing one country song coming in.
You're singing before the day's over. And I also want to tell you, Moreland Greenwood is here as well. Moreland, unbelievable linebacker himself, 9 years in the league, played for a few teams, Houston Texans, the Miami Dolphins, and also 1 year with the Raiders as well. So,
let's say you had a cup of tea
with the Raiders. Does that work? Okay, but you know, these guys and these guys, president, vice president. By the way, I have finished third in the golf outing. I don't see my trophy. Where's my trophy? You guys, I'm teasing you.
Oh, okay.
Don't feel pressured. I'm teasing you. No, seriously. And Mike, I want you to come down and meet these guys. It's really cool what they're doing and what they're trying to establish. Already had their first golf outing at Bears Best this last Thursday, and it is really cool. Mike, before we get to them and I bring them in, you know, another question for you. This team that you were on, and, you know, I watched it. I happened to be at the Pontiac Silverdome the day after the game after Trent Green got hurt, who was supposed to be your heir apparent quarterback to Tony Banks, and he was the guy that was going to come in and take over. And next thing you know, I'm at the Silverdome. I'm working for the Detroit Lions Radio Network, and this guy, Kurt Warner, shows up on the field to replace Trent. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And I'm looking him up. He played in the World Football League for the Frankfurt, whatever the hell they were, and he's going to quarterback the Rams, and all of a sudden he lights the Lions up, and I'm like, him and Anquan Boldin went off in that game, and I'm like, wait a minute, you know what, it's the first game, and it is the Detroit Lions, so you can't judge anything on that. But then he goes on to have one of the most amazing, miraculous seasons I've ever seen. The guy came out of nowhere. What was it like watching him, and when did you know that you guys had something really, really special?
Well, two things. In that game, and I got to say this, everyone has a Kurt Warner story. But that game, Kurt starts the game, and he's playing solid. He's playing good. And he takes off on a run, and he doesn't slide. So the next time he takes off, I don't remember this, he takes off for a run, doesn't slide again. Well, he comes to the sideline at the preseason. So I walk up to him and say, hey, Kurt, we already had one quarterback get hurt. Get your butt on the ground. Slide. He just looked at me, kind of smiled, because, you know, he was excited about being the starting quarterback. You know, and then we go to the first game of the season against Baltimore, and he throws an interception. And this one, I could tell we were different. We threw an interception before our team goes down. Kurt makes a tackle. We stop him. and we beat Baltimore like 27-10. And then we go to Atlanta, and we didn't compete against the 49ers. We didn't play them well, but we felt we had a chance. But against Atlanta, Atlanta always seemed to pound us. When we beat Atlanta that year, we got out to Atlanta at home, and that's when I kind of felt, said, you know what, this is most definitely different than before.
It was incredible being a spectator and watching that team play and how well you guys were, you know, you were just so cohesive as a unit, both offensively and defensively, and it was pretty amazing. And it was kind of cool to see the rejuvenation of Dick Vermeil, because usually when coaches retire for a long time, you miss something. The players change. Kids come in younger. And he somehow was able to jive with you guys and put something together. We are running so far behind, as always, with only an hour. I want to bring in Lyndon King, and I want to bring in Moreland Greenwood as well. Mike Jones on the phone. Guys, you know, listening to this and watching this in football, and you're not very far removed at all, Mark, from it. You more so, Lyndon.
What are you trying to say here?
what I'm trying to say is you and I both have our AARP cards.
You said
okay?
Jive over the air. You just ate. You said jive.
I did.
I heard you.
Is that okay?
I haven't heard someone say jive
in a long time.
Okay, so you aged yourself here.
I'm gonna break out my bell bottom jeans and my wild shirt in a minute. But seriously, how different is the game now, Lyndon?
Well, you know, there's two aspects to this. There's the protect the quarterback and protect the players. Now, from when we play, anything was legal. You could clothesline. And one of our defensive schemes was anybody that came across the middle was going to pay. If they got the ball or not, they're going to pay. Now you can't touch anybody. And I agree with that, because to knock people around when they don't need to be hit is ridiculous. But I will say this. Even though there are all these new rules in there to protect everything, the hitting in the game is vicious now. The equipment is to a good degree where they're just selling out. They're much better athletes, because everything that they ingest is calculated and weighed out by the training staff. They're physical marbles, and it all works. When we played, you know, training table was just, you know, the guys that were in shape could get steak, and the guys who were overweight, they got, you know, salads. That was it.
So the training tables would have taken a nap on.
A lot's changed. The concussion protocol.
Yeah.
You know, now if you get the slightest ding, they check you out, as they should. When I played, they'd ask you how many fingers they had up, and, you know, you had 1 in 5 chance, right? So, you know, and they put you back in. So it was no big deal.
Let me ask you this. Marlon, how many concussions do you think you played with where you actually were on a field playing with a concussion?
You know, there was only one time I really remember. I know every single time they say that every time you hit, you have a possibility of getting a concussion. Like, if you – no one is going to admit to getting dinged, you know, especially be like, hey, Marlon, are you all right? They'll be like, yeah, I'm all right. Then – why are you going to the wrong huddle? They're like, oh, no.
You're standing on the wrong side. You know?
Right. No, I'm good. But there's one time I remember, I think I was playing the Philadelphia Eagles, and I was going on to take on the fullback, and I turned my head, and I got ear holes. And it's like I had to walk myself through the next 3 plays. All right, Marlon, get in your stance. Okay, the ball snap. All right, sprint as hard as you can. Like, literally everything, or else I wouldn't have been able to do it. And then, luckily, we had a 3-and-out, and when I came on the sideline, I was thinking to myself, I think I just had a concussion.
Wow. You know, it's not only at the professional level either. Caleb Herring at UNLV, I watched this guy take some brutal hits.
Yeah.
Caleb, how about you at UNLV? How many times do you think you walked in there where you might have not been thinking right?
Well, I know for sure there was 2 times that I played through what I think were concussions, and that was in my senior year. Like, so there was
I remember it.
There was against – I believe it was Utah State. I took a hit, and because I was the guy, and I knew it, you know, I was having a great year, and I think I was needed for the team to win. I hid from the trainers. Like, I knew they were going to ask me because of how long it took me to get up. I actually got helped up, and my old linemen kind of knew too. They're like, oh my God, he's dazed. So they kind of walked with me to the sideline, and I tried to play it off. You know, like you said, nobody wants to admit, and especially knowing that I was a key to the team, I was like, I'm not going to admit that I'm out. But it took a while. Like, there's a couple series
the
where
last
I'm
thing
like,
you wanted to do was
I'm
tell
like,
Bobby how
coach,
I'm
we need
hurt.
Just we need to just hand this off. There's no checks that are coming. I'm not checking out of anything. I'm just handing it off for a couple plays, and I'll get my wits about me, you know, later on. And that's just kind of what happened. And then
Plus, you hated your coach.
No, well, I was gonna prove him wrong at any cost. Is what I was gonna stay on the field. And I was gonna play.
He hates what I did. I tell him.
You always do it.
I always do it because you hated your coach. Yeah. I would see you in the press room and you'd be sitting there shaking your head. You couldn't stand him.
Yeah. But well, that's another topic.
But no, there was
at least two times that I played where I was questionable for a concussion. And I was able to shake it off and get back. But there's some blurry moments on the field where I'm like, okay, what's really happening? I don't remember the game plan, but that guy looks like he's blitzing. Let me avoid him for a while, okay?
I'll tell you, and I don't even need to ask Lennon. Lennon, I think, played with 37 concussions probably back in the day. I mean, this guy was a beast. And you took some wicked hits, and you crushed a lot of people. Matter of fact, you should probably be getting sued for some of the things you did on a football field.
Like I said, back in the day, there were no rules. And the Raiders are responsible for many of the rules in the playbook. Howie Long, I played right next to him for 4 years, and Howie had this incredible ability to grab a guy's face mask, pull it down, and yank it back up, and he's got the guy's helmet now. And so because of that, he would do that and chase guys around the field with their helmets. There's the rule actually says you cannot remove another player's helmet. And
oh,
chase
my
him.
Goodness. And that's great.
That is awesome, great. Isn't it?
But could you imagine today that they'd be ejected?
God.
You are exactly. Fired from the NFL. Exactly. You can't play anymore.
Seriously. But my biggest concussion story is we were playing the Cowboys, and Jamie Kimmel is a backup linebacker, never played. He was all special teams. Somehow the guy forgot his helmet at halftime. And he didn't, you know, he was going to get a little trouble if he didn't show up on things. So I just went out, how hard can this be? It's a kickoff team. So we kicked it. They're supposed to kick left. They kicked it right. And I hadn't paid attention to meetings because I wasn't ever going to play on this. And Jack Del Rio ear-holed me and knocked me cold. And I wake up, and Dr. Huizinga, the guy on The Biggest Loser now, he's snitting over me, and he's laughing, and George Anderson's laughing. And they help me up and said, what are you doing out here? And, you know, I tried to explain my story. But on the way back to the bench, they gave me the proverbial test. How many fingers do you see? No, two. What's the score? 17-21. What year is it? 1862. And George Anderson.
The year you were born.
The train. Well, you know, the Raider guy with the patch. That was picture day. That was me.
Oh, my.
I always thought that was George Blanda.
No. I got poked in the eye the week before.
I always thought it was Blanda. Hey, listen, we are short for time, and I've got Brett Raymer just stepped up, the star of the hit show Tanked, and, of course, owner of Nighttime, a great store, and he's got some stuff to give away as well. In this out of line, I'm Brian Feldman, Caleb Herring to my right. My right, wow, I must have a concussion. To my left on the radio dial, I got Moreland Greenwood here. I have Lyndon King, the president and vice president of the NFL alumni. I have Mike Jones on the phone very patiently. And Mike, we're going to get to you in a second because I want your prediction on the Super Bowl. But real quick, guys, before I let you go, the NFL alumni is such a key element. It's a nonprofit organization that you guys bust your ass on. You've got brick and mortar now over by UNLV's campus. How do people get involved? Because you don't have to be an ex-NFL player to get involved with the NFL alumni. And hey, guys, the Raiders are coming. That's why they're here. And if you want to get in early, go early and beat the rush. Because I'm telling you, once the Raiders are here, you're going to be waiting in line. And right now, they got open doors. So how do you get involved?
Well, there's probably the easiest way is to go to our website. NFLalumni.org. That's the national site. You go to our chapter, sign up. Las Vegas, we're going to be different. We're headed out on some uncharted territory here. We're going to make this Las Vegas centric, so that if you are a local, now again, you don't have to be a football player. You can be a cheerleader, you can be a coach, or you can just be a citizen. But you can take advantage of all of the things that we've taken in and been a part of since 1967. Everything from renting a car to medical help to help on prescriptions, everything you can think of is in there, tax work, everything. And you can take advantage of all of those things. So go to the website, NFLalumni.org, and you'll find some links in there that takes you to our local page. But that's the crux of it. Now, what we do is we send some of the money back to older players, because you got to remember, nowadays, these guys are very wealthy individuals. When I played in the NFL, my first year as a third-round draft choice, I was making $68 a day over the course of a year, of course. That was a lot of money to me. But we didn't have the same financial structure there is now, so there are many players that are destitute, and they rely on our money just to not only just to get through surgeries and stuff, but just to live. And so we have that portion of the money. Most of the money, though, is earmarked and stays in Las Vegas. That's key here. There's a lot of money here, and people don't want to think about, okay, we're going to give X amount of dollars and you're going to send it to New Jersey. That's not what happens. The money stays here. Any money that goes back is delegated from Morley to myself. So there is a control aspect there. We are building a new program for kids that hopefully we can get out with the help of other professional teams, with musicians and actors, because we feel that the way our country is going now with these kids shooting each other, we're in real trouble, and we have a platform to make a difference, and we're going to do that. So any dollar that you send to us is going to be used in a good way, and it's all going to be transparent. You can look through it and see it, see where your money's going. But we happen to feel it's time to do something about these kids not taking care of themselves, because it's about respect and dignity within yourself, and that's what we have to get back in these kids, because there's a disconnect, something between when I was a kid and when these kids now, because I grew up in Colorado Springs and almost every kid in the school had a shotgun in his car because they were ranchers' kids. Nobody shot even each other. They had fights, and then just like everything else, but you just didn't, it never clicked. We have to address that. It's our responsibility. We have a platform, and so that's why we're here, and we need all of your help, and we hope you come get on board.
He is Lyndon King, president of the NFL Alumni Las Vegas chapter, brand new, very eloquently said, and I appreciate
Thank you, sir.
Lyndon. Again, 13-year NFL vet. We have Moreland Greenwood again. He is the vice president of the NFL Las Vegas chapter and a 9-year NFL vet. I really appreciate you guys. Before I let everyone go, and of course, Mike Jones on the phone. Mike, when you come out here, I definitely got to hook you up with these two guys. Mike is a great guy as well, does a lot of work in his community, and he'd be great, even though he's out there, he would be great coming here, and plus it's an excuse to get him here so I can get him to sign my hat. So listen, we appreciate it. Before we let all of you go, Mike, you go first so I can let you get off the phone and get ready for the game. I want your prediction on today's game. New England, LA Rams, who's going to win? And you don't have to give me a final score, but I want to know who's going to win. It will be a blowout, and I already know you're going to say the Rams. So how much are they going to win by?
I'm going to say the Rams 27-24. Third line, who is a Missouri Western graduate, will kick the field goal to win the game.
Who's going to be the Mike Jones of this Super Bowl?
The Mike Jones of this Super Bowl, I think it's going to be C.J. Anderson. I mean, I think a lot of people know about him now because of what happened. But I think C.J. Anderson, they keep saying Ty Gurley's going to play a lot, but I think C.J. Anderson is going to be
the prop bet is 42.5 yards, so I guess go with the over. He is Mike Jones. We appreciate you, my brother, and we will talk to you again very soon. And next year, somehow, I'm getting you out here for this thing.
Oh, absolutely. As long as you check the Raiders out. Once a Raider, always a Raider. You know that.
That's right.
All right. Take it easy, Mike. We appreciate you. Lyndon and Moreland, your turn, guys. I'll start with you, the VP.
Yeah.
Who's going to win and why?
Well, I have the New England Patriots. You know, I played against Tom Brady. I played – there's two quarterbacks that were – I just hated playing against, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Those two guys were absolutely – their mental toughness and their preparation for the game is very difficult to play them. So
hard to go against the goat, isn't it?
It's hard to go against them because a lot of people have counted them out before and they just keep on coming back. But I'm going to say a prediction here as far as the score. I'm going to say 27-14 New England Patriots.
Look at that, 27-14, mark it down. He's going with the GOAT. And, hey, everyone keeps saying Tom Brady's the GOAT. There's two GOATs on the Patriot. Bill Belichick is also the GOAT. And I say it now, when Bill Belichick retires, if they don't take the Lombardi Trophy and put a slash and say Lombardi Belichick, I don't care how much you people think he's cheated. He is the greatest coach and the most biggest mastermind in the history of the National Football League, bar none. Lyndon, who's winning and why?
As a fellow GOAT.
I'm a GOAT. I bat once in a while. You know?
Everything you said was so spot on. That organization is a machine. The thing you got to remember, when teams win Super Bowls, guys that are up for contracts, it's their golden hour, and they're going to go someplace and take all the money they can, and usually that decimates a team, but that doesn't happen with the Patriots. They come back with another team and win the following year. That's organization. That's the coaching staff, and I can't bet against them, and so I'm going to say 30-14.
New England. Okay, I got you. Again, Lyndon King, Moreland Greenwood, we appreciate you guys for coming down. We'll talk to you a bit after the show. We're going to take a real quick break. We're coming back with Brett Raymer from Tank, owner of Nighttime, and looking forward to having him on. He's going to give us his prediction on the Super Bowl as well. We'll be right back. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. I'm back. We are finishing up here. Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, just off the highway in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, 6640 North Durango is the address. I'm Brian Feldman. To my left on your radio dial, my good friend, former quarterback at UNLV, Caleb Herring. And to my right, just sitting down in the driver's seat right now, Brett Raymer. You guys know him from Tanked on Animal Planet. He also is the owner of a store called Nighttime. Some really cool stuff. I'm wearing one of the hats backwards right now. I'm representing the NFL alumni, too. Brett, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, welcome. Thanks
for
having
me. You've been back. I should say welcome back to the show. Brett's been a guest before. And how's everything going, man?
Everything's going really well. Excited about today. Super excited.
We'll start right off with your prediction. Who's winning and why?
Man, I kind of agree with two of the three guys. I mean, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are just tough to beat. But here's the thing: so 9 years ago, maybe 9, 10, the first Super Bowl was against the Rams. Belichick and Brady coming up, young guys, kind of reverse situation, going against the experts, and then all of a sudden their reign started. So I think if these guys turn the corner and you see Goff and these guys really win today, I mean, these guys could be the guys of the future, moving on forward. But they have a tall task ahead of them. I agree with you. Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. What he did against Andy Reid, last game. I mean, shutting him out, the best offensive in football this year, to see them like that, to beat them twice in one season, and then to dominate them last game, to shut them out in the first half. It's just
they went into their house and pushed them around.
I mean, you don't see that often. No. I mean, especially if you look at their record, during the season, I believe it was like 5-0 against, teams that had winning records that were really good teams. They kind of slacked against the teams that were losing, but when they needed to win, I mean, that's what they do. They win championships and they win football games.
Patriots are winning.
Without question.
Okay. Real quickly, because we are so short on time. Yeah. Well, talk about the store Nighttime.
Yeah.
Because Brett's got stuff to give away, guys. You're all going to get some stuff from Brett up here from Nighttime, which is really cool. But go ahead and talk
about it. I'll make it real quick. So, becoming a big Golden Knights fan, I was a fan of an artist. His name is Juan Muniz, and he created the Vegas Golden Misfit characters. And I heard his story. It was an amazing story. We became partners, and we opened up a store called Nighttime, and it wasn't contained a park. And we actually, now it's only online. It's at nighttime.com. We got picked up by a major retailer, so you're actually going to see
it. That's so cool.
You're actually going to see it all over Vegas here coming the third week of March. But I did bring some stuff for people, but really what the Knights have done for the community, what it's done for our team, it's been helping people able to spawn their dreams by using their talents to create, things that are, Golden Knights themed. And we came up with a clothing line that we think everybody's going to love.
That's really cool. And how can Caleb Herring go about getting one of those awesome fish tanks that you build?
All you got to do is take my number and come down and visit us, and we'll see if we can make it happen.
The ballers in the world have fish tanks, so I'll be getting a fish tank soon.
Hey, we appreciate you. Brett Raymer, always a pleasure to have you on the show, man, and looking forward to having you on again soon. And I can't wait to check out my new hat. I don't know what it's going to be.
We'll get you something, and always a pleasure, and I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. All right, listen, we're just about out of time. So it's time for me and Caleb to tell you who we think is going to win the Super Bowl. And I want to go last because I want to steal your thunder after the fact. Go ahead.
So I'm going to agree with the football experts in here. You don't give Tom Brady and Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for somebody and then bet against them. So Tom Brady is the king right now of preparation since Peyton Manning retired. He's the king of preparation. It showed against the Chiefs when he absolutely shredded them on that last drive and in overtime. So I'm going with the Patriots.
I got to tell you, I got to go with the GOAT. Tom Brady is not going to lose two Super Bowls in 365 days and become the all-time losingest quarterback in the Super Bowl along with Jim Kelly. It ain't going to happen. The Pats are going to win. The GOATs are going to be eating grass tonight. So don't put your money ever against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Listen, this is out of line. I want to thank Buffalo Wild Wings, Brett Raymer. I want to thank Lyndon King, Moreland Greenwood, Mike Jones, and my good friend and pal, Caleb Herring, for coming out. Former quarterback at UNLV. Magnum back in the studio. Could never do without him. And Angel over here is a master. He set all this up and took care of things. 5 o'clock in the morning, this guy was here. And he was with me on Fox last night from 10 to midnight when we had to be on the radio. And Angel was there doing it all at the beer park. We appreciate you. Love you. We'll be back next week, same time, right here out of line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. And don't forget, if you're looking for mortgage...